latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail. Had a little too much to drink. Ain't got no bail, ain't got no bail. And I'm spending New Year's Eve in the clink. I was in the wrong lane, feeling no pain. Souped my car to 75. Ran right into, you can guess who. And they say I'm lucky to be alive.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
They're singing down the street while everybody's having Christmas turkey. They give me bread and water to eat. Christmas in jail, Christmas in jail.
It's a classic.
I wore my shoes out pacing the floor.
We're giving you
got rocks in my hand.
We're giving you extra here. We're giving you the full treatment, youngsters. Christmas in jail, back for a second go-round here before we wrap up the year. I think we're gonna delay Hammer. Hammer's, I think it sounds like he's got some racing office stuff that's got him tied up. So Casey's going to move Scully up, and we'll see if we'll get Scully in. I know he's looked at some Turfway and some Gulfstream. Let me mention, too, one pair of stakes that we will not really dig too far into, but I will mention them. You've got the Juvenile Championship races at Laurel, and they got back underway yesterday at Laurel, and these two stakes go as the 7th and the 8th tomorrow. You got nice enough fields. 7-horse field for the fillies, and a bigger field of 13 for the boys. And Todd Pletcher is bringing that McLean's Music filly, the Stuart Grant homebred, Jester Calls No Joy, coming out of the Myrtlewood. And, of course, broke the maiden beautifully at Saratoga. Going 7/8. And heavy on Toledo. Gets drafted. You know, they tried the Frisette. Those waters were a little deep. And then she tried the Myrtlewood at Keeneland. And she ran okay. Kind of was off a little sluggishly and kind of mild middle ish move. But Jester calls no joy. 4-5 in the Juvenile Philly Championship for the Maryland bred and Maryland sired types. What else you got in here? Certainly rooting for Dazzy on the outside. T&J Stable. Tim Hills comes down from New York with this Divining Ride Philly. And, you know, we've talked about it. We talked about it, you know, Country Life and you know, Divining Rod with the interrupted start to his stallion career. But he's getting runners, and Dazzy certainly one of them. Victor Carrasco aboard for Tim Hills. This actually a filly that was bred by the late Bob Menfuso. Out of a two-punch mare. So this has got it's got Country Life's thumbprints all over it, the Ponzes. You've also got Luna Bell in here for Hammy Smith. This is a great notion coming out of the Smart Halo. Got plenty of experience, Luna Bell. She's making a seventh career start. And then on the boys' side, yeah, the bigger field. Just looking through, I hear James, I think, with us. And Trombetta, here's another. Boy, here's Stuart Grant again. Elkstone homebred Joe from the 12 hole, though. But it's 7/8, so the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. he's got it. You do have a live divining rod runner in here as well. And this is Local Motive for Bird Moberly. I think there's plenty to like here, too. John Saltzman sends this one out. And coming off of the win in the Lewis. So stretches out another furlong, 9-2 for Local Motive. It's actually a cool name. Phil Schoenthal, Wish Me Home. Here's a midshipman gelding. Making an eighth start, and this is a horse that has not really even beaten, even seventh last time in the Central Park, going long on the grass, was actually only beaten three lengths. And Forrest Boyce gets back aboard, 12-1 on Wish Me Home. Interesting. That's getting back on the main track and cutting back. So a little bit to like on that front. And how about Shady Money catches my attention a little bit at 10-1. Angel Cruz for Claudio Gonzalez and Bob Bone and partner Ed Brown. This is a horse that was bred by the Bowmans. A Frisian Fire out of the Munnings mare, Munnings' favorite. Coming out of an allowance that I'm going a mile. That's an interesting... that's a nice price. Shady Money. I think works his way onto my tickets. So good group. And speaking of Wachtel and Barber, they've got Kobe Tuff in here that Tim Keefe is training. So good group in the boys' race and a solid group in the girls' race. James Scully, good morning. Or not. Is it Hammer?
Yeah. Yes, you got me.
Oh, it is. All right. I see. Casey just wrote me. He said, yep, okay. Casey said you called back before he called James. All right.
So, good morning.
What's going on?
Well, if you must know, I've been in a 5-day phone tag war with Verizon trying to get a phone replacement, and I've got two phones from them. They're wrong phones. And I finally got through to the supervisor this morning, and she's doing all this stuff. And then I see Casey call. I figure I have another hour, and I see Casey call. So I've got to tell her that now that you've called me back, I can't talk. And it's funny. I'm running in the other room, and I'm begging her, please call me back, please, so we can get
Sorry.
This phone thing situated. So it's pretty funny. It's been a... I keep thinking that, like, there's cameras following me because I'm in this saga that we've all been in that you just can't get it done. And we're finally getting it done. And then Casey called an hour before normal, and it's still not done, but it's all good.
Well, I can relate, although I will tell a quick story that is sort of the opposite of this, where I was worried that I was going to have one of these ordeals, and it had to do with insurance, with my health thing, and so I had gotten a bill from the hospital, and I thought I'd given them the insurance information, and you get a bill for $57,000, which is, you know, it's kind of a funny thing to open up and say, oh, look, but you know what? It's only $49,000 if you pay within 3 weeks.
Oh, well, there you go.
They knock off a fat $8,000 if you pay fast. So so I went online. They give you the, you know, sign up for the online and blah, blah. So I sign up online, and you know, do you have insurance information that we don't have? And so I put it in. I get a phone call the next day, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. And I was just prepared for, you know, for an ordeal. And so the woman says, first they left a message. So I called back, and she said, let me look at the file. She goes, oh, we just need your wife's name. I said, what do you mean? We just need your wife's name. Your wife, you know. I said, okay, Tina. Okay, thanks so much. I was like, wow. I said, the insurance? Oh, no, she goes, the insurance is perfect. You're all, yeah. So I was dreading. I was like thinking, oh my God, this is going to be like one of those, you know, one of those 60 Minutes stories. And no, it was clean as can be.
Well, that's good. It'll eventually get worked out. But it's funny. I actually literally have three boxes that they've sent me over the past few days. People in the office have to have my mail sent here because my condo, you know, it's kind of messed up mail wise. So I keep getting these boxes, and they're all filled with phones, and it's like, people in the office are going, what's going on here? And so they're all wrong, and they're fixing it.
That's funny.
But, anyway, so I hope this lady calls me back. But speaking of that, I heard Nick Tamaro on this morning, and another stupid story. So I had bet the football game last night. I don't watch the games because I'm in a semi-NFL protest still. But I do bet them. So I just look at the final score, so I don't watch the game. It's actually not bad. So I get up this morning and check out some things, and I see a tweet from Nick Tamaro. First thing I see, I bet the Chiefs. And he had a little text or tweet that said about the Chargers, and the effort they gave, and boy, they dominated the game. And that's all I saw, and I go, oh, great. Take a shower, come out, turn on the news, and the Chiefs ended up winning in overtime. So I'm thinking, I went from boom to boom. So it's 9 o'clock here. I've had a lot of things going on here, and anyway, it's the end of the year. I guess we're able for that. Today is my daughter's birthday, so happy birthday, Lindsay. I'll miss the first Thanksgiving I missed, and the first birthday I missed. So we'll get home in the next couple of days. But anyway, enough of that stuff. We're into our third weekend here at Oaklawn. And I tell you, it seems like we've raced a lot more than 6 days, just time-wise. And I think the 3 days a week does that to you, because there's a lot of non-race time, and it slows you down. I mean, I was off Wednesday and Thursday. I seemed like I was off a week. Just a lot of time between racing. So have to get used to that. But you know, a couple weeks, the first 3 weeks, racing was okay, and, you know, we got through it. It's still an experiment to see what we're going to do. But I think, especially the Saturday and Sunday cards here, which seems like we took entries on a while ago, but they're starting to come together. More horses are showing up here. You know, they had to end a few meets. Remington ended, so we'll get some horses from there. And Chicago has some, I think, slows down, we'll get some horses from there. So it's just starting to come together here, and we'll get these 3 days in, and then we take my favorite thing in racing, a break, And we'll finish on the 19th, and then we won't come back until the next Friday, which is the 31st, which should be even another reset, and then we'll be ready to go, come first of the year.
Well, even with the time off, one thing that's been pleasant, having these cards to get out in front of, Rick, this is a really nice 3 days of racing. Today's kind of a meat and potatoes Friday card, but Saturday and then Sunday's card is an eye popper.
Yeah, and like I said, it took a while. The first couple of weeks were, I think, everyone, including the horsemen, and here it was just kind of, what are we doing here? What's going on? It's December. We're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be racing. We are racing. And, the movement of horses changed with the date change. So I think it took a while for not just some people, I think everyone, to get a little settled to realize that, yes, we're here, we're racing. So, like I said, this experimental stuff, we'll take a look at it. But it started to kick in here now. Like you said, there's some solid, solid cards. The weather has been cooperative. Today, I think it's going to be off and on. Tomorrow, it's supposed to rain in the morning, so we'll worry about that tomorrow. But they were right about the temperatures. It's been in the 60s and 70s most of the time, so can't complain about that. So it's... The experiment is still going, but it's working.
No doubt. Just looking back, part of the appeal here has been clearly the 2-year-old racing, Rick, and kind of keeping tabs on on the maidens that are breaking. I'll mention that. There was the horse of also some older horses too that were kind of delayed breaking their maiden. Rick Hiles had a horse was that last Saturday that in a sprint.
Yeah, well, that was an older one, right? But we are able to have some 2-year-old racing here, and the idea was not to focus on it, which we haven't, and say, oh yes, all 2-year-olds had a couple little races here and there, but it's nice to see that they're full, which means they're will carry on for the 3-year-olds in the next year. So we weren't quite sure how that was going to go, and it's a lot of first timers, which is good. I mean, to get fresh horses coming in, and if they're making their first start now, they're getting ready to run even more when they're the real time of the meet starts. So that's been good. We tried some new steaks, and that's why I tell you, this steak on Saturday is is a head scratch. I mean, it's full of some real horses in there. And as I look down, I brought the wrong form across the hall here where I'm at. But I think five of them come off wins, and go in the mile and eighth, and the others are second and third. So. Lone Rock, I think, is in there, and he's obviously the one to look at. He can run all day, back to a mile and eighth distance. You've got that Rudolph Brissett, who's got horses here, obviously for the first time, and I think this is his first start of the meet. Beau Luminaire in there, which could benefit from a speed duel if everything goes on paper. A lot of speed in there with Warrior's Charge and Thomas Selby. Even Lone Rock is close and then tries to make his move on the turn and open up. But a solid race there. The little allowance race, the race before, with CZ Rocket in it. Peter Miller, stable manager Peter Miller, with Renee Amesqua handling some of his horses here, comes back to where he made a lot of noise last year, winning the two of the big sprint stakes here. So he's back in action here with Mucho and Royal Dahar, just a bunch of nice horses in there.
Yep.
So, it's like you said, you just kind of get to feel like it's kicking in.
I want to mention, and because I just went digging for the two or three maiden breakers that caught my eye last weekend. I mentioned the Rick Hiles was a curlin by the name of Imperador, and he and Go West, 85 buyers for those two, and I'd keep an eye on that group. And we kind of mentioned, what about that Arkansas bred on Sunday of John Prather's Mo Choctaw?
That was in for 50 that everyone in the grounds was going, oh, I was going to claim that one. I was going to claim that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, 85 buyer.
Yeah, I mean, smoked like you said, a super time, and was in for 50. And I think it had a 47 work out of the gate, and it kind of jumped off the page at you. But he got to take her. He got to take him home. So that's good for him. Him look like might have a future. And that's one of those deals. If you have a nice state bred here, as in any state, you know, with the purses and some of the money given away to the local breds, it looks like that might be a moneymaker.
There was also later in the card on the open company front, you had Maker with the Liam's Map, Back to Normal, and Mamzouge, and they bordered on an 80 buyer as well. Though that looks like a nice pair coming out. As well. And when the stake, Dallas, who we had talked to on Monday, that Last Samurai looks like a nice horse going forward. That was a nice win in the poinsettia.
Yeah, you know, and he just found his right spot. Just found the right spot. Seemed like it was always always a nice horse, and maybe good for the horse's head a little bit to win a nice one like that. I think John Court was on there, on him. So that always is nice. And Dallas will do that. He'll have a small string here, but he'll just kind of sneak one in here and there and win some nice races here at Oakland. You've got to keep your eye on him. You got to keep your eye on him anywhere, especially at a price. But so that was nice. So it's really in the 2 years prior to this year that I've been here, I think the quality, you mentioned the two-year-old races, I think you're really going to see, some good horses come out of here and move forward through the year. You got a lot of nicely bred two-year-olds that they're not afraid to run here. Not afraid, but they're running here. And, you know, a couple gun runners in tomorrow and McLean's Music. There's a Frosted. The trainers are just, the stars in the Midwest, and they're the purse is nice, and they just like running over the surface. So you're going to see some stars come out of here this meet for sure.
Well, you got a star on Sunday, and you got some stars in the making, Hammer. In addition, you mentioned the allowance tomorrow with Mucho and CZ Rocket and et cetera, Long Range Toddy in there, Sir Alfred James, et cetera. But on Sunday, and the reason, and it's funny, I was talking earlier in the week about this card. On Sunday, okay, Caddo River comes back. That's nice. Caddo River makes a three-year-old, delayed late-season three-year-old debut, and that's in a very nice group going a mile, non-winners of three, lifetime. But how about Caddo River's little sister debuting in the sixth against Martime? Como Square is the name of the Caddo River sister by Into Mischief, except that Martime for Brad Cox and Clarkland out of Leslie's Lady, Martime the sibling of Mendelssohn, Beholder, and Into Mischief, coming off the debut win for Brad Cox. That was at Keeneland. So Martime and Como Square, but you know what? Neither of them are going to be favored. It's going to be the Asmussen, Brary Jones, McLean's Music Filly, Parlance that's going to be favored. What this should be a stake, Rick. I mean, it's a first level allowance for $100,000 for 2 year olds. This is an important filly race.
Right. It's a once other than. I mean, or non winners of two races or 2 year old fillies, and the importance of putting that at 100,000, there's not an allowance rate here that's run for under 100,000. So it just adds to it. It's like, it is a stake. I mean, in a lot of places, and that the CZ Rocket race on tomorrow is 120,000, and you see what it brings. So what's happening here quietly is the quality. We're really looking at trying to bring quality horses here, and boy, it's really worked. And Pat Pope, who does the book here and writes these races here, it's amazing how many. I mean, we just had Nashville run last week against a decent field of sprinters, and then we come right back with this other field of sprinters. So the good races, the word is out. If you want to run your good horse, allowance wise, and in some kind of condition, these races are offered here, and they're going. So, like you said, you got Martime here. You go, well, yeah, went off at 3-5 last time. It'll probably be the favorite. But then you get down to the Steve Asmussen horse. You know, Chris Hartman, who's been on an absolute roll, has a nice filly in there that broke. It won in the mud, by the way. And if it's muddy on Sunday, could help. Broke her maiden in Indiana. It's just, like I said, Mike Maker's got one in there again, too, that one of those ones he claimed for $150,000 out of that Churchill maiden race. This happened to be the winner. It's starting to, like I said, starting to gel. It's been great. It's good to see.
Really nice. That's Sunday and tomorrow. We gonna offer a couple of opinions at all? You got anything that you wanna?
Yeah, like I said, I have the other form. I brought the wrong form that I had marked up, of course. And I'm trying to now. I'm looking at this maiden race. With Asmussen in it, look at the names. The Asmussen, Bart Holm brings this one that's been rocking it at Remington. Kenny McPeak, Joe Sharp, Brad Cox, Tom Amos, Baltus has one in there that I think can run. Peace Peddler, Larry Jones, Theodoro. So you know, all the heavy heads in the Midwest are in there. I think the Baltus' horse can run a little bit. Not necessarily known for shooting out first time starters, but that's a gun runner. And shipped here for a reason, so I think this horse might be live. And I like I said, don't have my notes for the other one. The second time starter for Brad Cox, Icy Stare Down, I think is good. Was favored first time out and ran decent. So you know, the second time out ran against Parlance, who you just mentioned. So could be tough in there as well. The next race. That allowance race, which is another one that I mean, this is like you said, it's that mini stake. CZ Rocket, who made, like I said, made a lot of noise here, is back here and can run on Lasix. Admittedly, they've said, you know, he just runs better on Lasix. So one of the reasons he's coming here, he's back, hasn't run. Was run in November, ran it, you know, as in the Breeders' Cup, and obviously you take that. I don't know. We'll take a look at him. We're not sure about him on an off track. He hasn't won. Some of these have, some of these haven't. Mucho, what a hard trier this horse is. Mucho's won six races, 600,000. Got beat a neck last time to Necker Island. I keep my eye on him. Jimmy DeVito, he comes here and places his horses very, very well. Here's a horse that's won twice here. Comes off of a turf race. He tried him on the turf, you know, unsuccessfully. But sneaky good. I keep my eye on him. He likes the racetrack. He hasn't won in the slot, but he's run okay. But just a real good race. I'm looking for a little bit of a price. You might get it on the five horse in there. And we mentioned the stake with the Lone Rock will go favored. But there's just a ton of speed in here. And maybe this Beau Luminaire can be close enough to catch him. As we've seen, if you've watched our races, you can come from out of it here. There's no you know, there's no denying that. So speed is speed, but if your horse makes a long sustained run, which is what they do here, you can come. And so his first start here might be a good one. Thomas Shelby is on fire right now, just you know, won 10 out of 23. And could be tough. Warriors Charge, always tough here. Just got beat a lift to Thomas Shelby a couple races ago. So just a tenfold's in there who's traveled around, hasn't had a win lately. So just a very, very tough race to
Hammer.
Look at. I don't know who you saw in there.
Well, I got to ask you a question.
Race, What's that?
I got to ask you a question, and I know, you know, obviously this is a stake, and so the rules are a little different, but... Sisk, M&M Racing, and Diodoro, they entered Thomas Shelby back for Sunday. And when they enter back, do they have to run there? What's the...
Because it's a stake there, they'll decide.
They can run or not. Okay.
Yeah, they'll decide. I don't know if it has to do with the track, or they'll see how it is. Obviously, he likes an off-track, Thomas Shelby. So we'll see if that's coming up. So they'll decide what they're going to do.
Okay.
Yes. And with a nice maiden race too. So
let me ask you a question.
This is one of those tracks, meaning Oakmont, that you got to kind of, you know, I think tread slowly as you're you know, going into the meet, take some notes, you know, kind of get a feel of it before you step in deep. But certain type of horses do well, certain trainers do well. So keep notes here. It's another track, you know, where trip notes come in handy, where things happen. It's like, ooh, you know, didn't get there. If you can't get there at the top of the lane with, you know, making a sustained move and you get stopped, you're not going to pick it back up and get going. So, you know, a lot of film, a lot of stuff. We'll have 9 races in the bank when we come back. And, you know, that's what I'm kind of doing here too, just kind of watching.
How many, I'm just looking at that seventh, and you mentioned Peace Peddler. This is a gun runner, $200,000 gun runner, bred by Bridalwood. Calvin Wynn and Joey Tran. How many horses does Baltus have there?
He's got a small stable, about 8 here now.
Okay.
You know, he won with his first starter, Tayshawn, opening weekend. So you'll see, you know, those kind of horses, the horses that need to run, that lounge type horses, the tire quality horses, we'll see from him. But like I said, he's not necessarily known for firing first time out, but you know, lots of times when horsemen have a second string or a string somewhere else and they're sending 8 to 10, you know, they're sending the ones that can run, you know, not just sending, you know, horses to just to say we did. So his horse has some back works that look good, and I think he's okay in there.
There's a horse I'm going to draw attention to. The 3, Chesterette. We're talking about the 7th at Oaklawn on Saturday, and Chesterette, from the very capable Bart Hone coming out of Remington. Speaking of Remington. This is a horse that's been working up a storm, Chesterette. This is a Woods Edge bred OBS purchase for David and Holly Wilson, who, if I'm right, the Wilsons longtime associated with Vladimir Serin, right?
Yes.
Bart Hone wins, and practical joke, so far, 22% first out winners. That's a garish number. 13 for 60, his first 60 runners. That's a live horse at 8 to 1.
No, I agree. And like you say, he wins. And, you know, take a look at Kenny McPeak's horse. It's nothing but bullets all along. And you know, been respectably first time out. And so this is a loaded 2-year-old filly maiden race for sure.
You know, you know what reminds me of something, Hammer, and I think it's is it in California? You see the dam? Perfect Wife.
Yes.
Isn't it in California? The restaurant, called the Perfect Wife, with billboards. That I'm going to have to look that up. That's it's almost like a Pea Soup Anderson kind of a.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
Here we go. The Perfect Wife restaurant. Actually, it's over here. It's on my side. It's in Manchester. That's Manchester Center. That's why I'm thinking of it.
Someone got out of the doghouse naming that horse for sure.
It looks like it's permanently closed. Wow. Wow, I that name jumped off at me as from a kid. Those of you from the Northeast, you know the billboards I'm talking about. With the perfect wife. That's pretty funny. Huh.
Well, we had a couple off the. We had our first taker for the press box tour the other day.
Oh, nice!
Anyone that comes in and wants to go see a race from the press box. And so Rosie, our favorite teller here, sent her husband in, Roger, and so he came and we watched a race from the press box and got the view and saw what happens up there, so that was pretty cool. And that's still standing. Anyone that wants to come in and find me in the racing office and say I want a press box tour, I'll take you up there. So that's still standing. Obviously we're still going on with the calendar giveaway, full steam ahead with that. With the way the dates fly, because I'm going to fly home for a little over Christmas, we'll get them done and it'll be the first of the year. It won't be, unless I get back and have time to do it. But anyway, still got calendars left. Anyone that wants an Oak Lawn calendar this for next year, of course, send in. We're asking you to send in a picture of a souvenir, any souvenir that you've got anywhere, whether it's the Grand Canyon, the World's Fair, anywhere, any racetrack souvenir. Just take a picture of it, send it in with your address, a little story about the souvenir and what you like about the show or anything like that. And send it to oaklawncalendar@yahoo.com. oaklawncalendar@yahoo.com. Have a little fun with it, and you'll get a nice Oak Lawn calendar in the mail for you.
Did you? I put up on Twitter. I gave everybody the listing, and I threw together a few of my souvenirs the other day. You didn't see the I used the 1964 World's Fair the guide as one of them. I included a little. Kind of a change cup from Expo 67 in Montreal. And what else was in there? A golden nugget, one of those roulette wheel plunger games that you get as a souvenir from Vegas. And a brass kaleidoscope hammer that I bought when I was working on Fifth Avenue, Damon Associates, at 42nd and Fifth, and down the block, this has got to be 80, no, 90.
Were you at the World's Fair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was 1964.
1964, 65. And, it's a small world. And I was only 4 or 5 years old, but I absolutely remember it. And, anybody that comes to New York, if you happen to have gone as a kid or as a young adult, if you want to relive it, you have to go to the Queens Museum, which is right there on the grounds, right next to, just down from Shea or City Field. And right by the tennis center.
They still have that globe there, right?
Oh, God, the Unisphere. The Unisphere will always be there. It's the Unisphere is so spectacular. And in fact, the other day when we were coming back from Aqueduct, I noticed that there's all kinds of scaffolding on the old on the towers that people probably know from Men in Black, but the two tall towers with the what used to be a restaurant up there, the old New York Pavilion, they're doing some work on the New York Pavilion. Flushing Meadows there, the park is just a treasure if you've never been, and I can't recommend it enough. And the Queens Museum has a mammoth collection of Tiffany lampshades, as well as a diorama of the entire city of New York, Rick, that is remarkable.
I need to see that. How about if I told you that I was at the World's Fair as well as a youngster?
Oh, that's great. Well, if you go to the Queens Museum, they've got a huge collection from the World's Fair upstairs. It's wonderful.
I'll have to do that. I got to dig up some old pictures too. It's pretty funny. But So that's good. Let's see what else we got going here. Oh, you know, it's funny. We had our first 2 days off, and I think I've done everything you could do within 100 miles of here, so I'm spreading my wings out further. So I figured out on Wednesdays I can get to Nashville, like a six-hour drive, whatever. You can't fly there. There's no direct flights, but I can drive. And so I started checking out shows at the Ryman on Wednesday, and I've never been to the Ryman Auditorium, the world famous. So as luck would have it, Bob Weir is starting his summer tour with his band there on March 9th, which is a Wednesday. So I've got tickets for that. Then I looked at February on Wednesday, and Marshall Tucker Band is playing with Dave Mason on a Wednesday. So I got a new gig for some days off. I'm going to be driving to Nashville and checking out the Ryman.
Very cool. I love it. Marshall Tucker was one of the first. It might have been, actually, now I'm thinking about it, it was the first concert I ever saw that up at Springfield, at Springfield Civic Center, along with, it was Marshall Tucker, Pure Prairie League, and Jonathan Edwards.
Wow, there you go. So they're still around. So anyway, that's you got to plan ahead here with some things to get out and do with 2 full days off. So anyway, it's we've gone off to a good start. I know we're creeping close to Christmas and the holidays, and just want to wish everyone a safe Christmas. And I think we're in better shape now than we were last year. At least it seems to me we are. And both nationally and racing, moving forward. We've had some things happen, but I think we've got our arms around some. We've got Heiste coming on board, like it or not. I think they're going to try and bring some accountability to the game. I the fans are back this year. I feel pretty good about moving forward. It was nice to go to the symposium, and generally pretty positive comments in general about everything. Nobody was ragging on anything. I don't know. I feel good. Racing's got some things are going to adjust here in the next 3, 4, 5 years. We know something's coming, and we will do it. People are still betting, and it's nice to get out and this summer and go to tracks live, which we couldn't do the summer before. So feel pretty good about it. And wish everyone just a wonderful, wonderful holiday and a good opening to next year.
Well, Hammer, you summarizing things like that make me realize, that we're probably not gonna talk to you till the new year, I guess.
Yeah. So I've had a good time with you too, Steve. I got to say, I think we've hooked up at where? At Monmouth, Saratoga, Oaklawn, Arizona. And it's been fun. So we'll carry on. And you know what? Another thing I say. You know what? Everyone, enjoy yourselves. Get out, go see the country, have some fun. And we've gone through enough. So entertain yourself. Do something that makes you happy. And while don't wish you did it. Do it.
Well, we've had really, Rick. With every time that we get together, everybody says, "Oh, Rick's the greatest co-host." And so thanks for everything and a fabulous year. And we're gearing up, and we'll get ready for 2022. Be back. I've got a nice long February or March stay there coming up, because we've got Rebel. It'll be Rebel Week and then HBPA convention the following week. So we'll have a nice 10, at least like a 10-day run from Hot Springs early next year.
Well, great. I put the word out. So hopefully I'll have a lot of visitors from in March and April. So anybody's, come on down. You're welcome. I'll show you the town and anywhere else you want to see within 100 miles.
I love it. Away they go, everybody. Rick Hammerly, and Rick, Merry Christmas to you and the girls, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
Here it is. Oaklawn calendar at yahoo.com, picture of your souvenir, and I'll put up I'll put up links to the Queen's Museum too. Let's do this. Well, Case, let's take the top of the hour break here rather than getting started. We've got Mike Welch joining us at the top of the hour. We'll do some Gulfstream. Then we've got Scully, Shapiro, and Popo for the last hour here, the last Friday show of 2021. Twin Spires Weekend Preview. SiriusXM back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work.